Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's Friday gathering time, and we have in the studio today Shane Moynihan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Midwest and party spokesperson on transport, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, Alison O'Connor, journalist and commentator, and public policy advisor Oisín Coughlan. And thank you all for coming in this morning. Lynn, who is it? Our hearts are broken with the speculation.
My heart's broken given the same answer. You'll know tomorrow.
Alon Gaeilge up for the match, I mean, the intrigue. Do you, okay.
I honestly don't know.
Really?
Honestly, I don't.
You don't know
don't
who it
know.
Is?
No, honestly, I'm not on the Ord Corla, so I won't even, I'll be finding out when everyone else is finding out tomorrow.
So what happens? Has Mary Lou made the decision? Will the Ord Corla make the decision? How does it work?
Well, my understanding is, I mean, there was a very lengthy consultation process, which I fed in my views about, you know, whether or not to stand our own candidate, whether or not to stand.
And can you tell us what you said?
I mean, my own preference, I think a United Left candidate is an interesting proposal.
Catherine Connolly.
But I also think that it is a unique opportunity to promote a United Ireland and for Sinn Féin to run a candidate and to really make that the focus. But as I said, I fed in like everybody else, every other member, and then there was a report compiled and they're coming back with a recommendation, which then will be voted at the Ord Corla tomorrow.
So we'll know tomorrow. Shane, are you worried now who the game changer is going to be?
I think we've got a really strong candidate in Jim Gavin. He's had he's had a great reaction at the Ploughing Championships.
Who could be pulled out of the hat?
Look, that's up to Sinn Féin. They're going through their process. We've gone through ours. Jim's had a great reaction to the Ploughing, and he's ploughing ahead.
Just interesting comments from Catherine Connolly's camp today. Well, since these comments were made by Mary Lou MacDonald. Catherine Connolly has not spoken to Mary Lou MacDonald in relation to the election so far. The spokesperson said Catherine Connolly would be very happy to get an endorsement from Sinn Féin but awaits the outcome of their process. So that means no contact, really.
Yeah, I was just, you stole me thunder there, Claire.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was just about to read that out. In that, I mean, that's kind of, I was at the launch of Owen O'Malley's book last night, Charlie versus Gareth, and it was the talk of the place. Mm. But none of us were aware of that comment. I mean, it would hardly be that Sinn Féin could be coming out. I mean, I suppose it would be, you could characterise it as being maybe very Sinn Féin, that they wouldn't let Catherine Connolly know until the very last minute. But yet, what would that say for, you know, how well the rest of the campaign might go? Mm-hmm. And even the idea that Sinn Féin would back Catherine Connolly this late would actually, they've actually in some ways hobbled her campaign already. By not announcing it, and it would be, you could maybe look at it as a bit too little too late. So I think it's definitely something wider.
And I think disagree that, on that.
Well, but Catherine Connolly would be very glad of that.
Yes, she would. No, I'm not saying she wouldn't. I'm not saying it wouldn't boost her campaign, but I'm saying the way Sinn Féin has delayed it for so long has not ultimately been the boost that it could have been for Catherine Connolly. And the idea that Mary Lou MacDonald has not had contact with Catherine Connolly up to this point, if Sinn Féin are going to back her, is quite an extraordinary thing. And the final thing I will say is that Mary Lou has really brought us up to the top of the hill on this one. So I actually think that if it is saying that they're backing Catherine Connolly, that people could end up being a bit disappointed by that. But the ultimate kind of conclusion last night as well, that it's all been quite, okay, it's early days, but it's all quite pedestrian so far. And that actually another candidate to the field would really add to, may I say, the gaiety of the nation.
Gaiety of the nation. Oisín, where do you stand on the intrigue?
I don't think it's the public care about the timing. No. Like the rest of us who are focused on this do. But if once the nominations close next Wednesday, once this 4 weeks campaigning starts, the public will forget about.
She doesn't have a high profile,
who
though,
endorsed
Oisín,
who.
Catherine Connolly, and that Sinn Féin would have helped.
But I think, Sinn Féin
summer.
Endorsing her now would achieve that. But I just think the teasers that Mary Lou gave yesterday about a game changer and the sporting analogies suggests it's not Catherine Connolly. And the fact that I had understood Sinn Féin were going to meet with her, so it seems like that hasn't happened. That seems like Sinn Féin has decided to run its own candidate and that it's someone with a sporting connection, most likely from the northern half of the country.
It's an interesting statement just in from Michael Healy-Ray. He has signed the nomination papers for Maria Steen. In the same spirit of fairness as he approached the election in 2011, he says, when he signed the papers for Martin McGuinness.
So was he the 11th?
He says, I would be giving her the opportunity to contest the next election. However, I want to be absolutely clear. My support in this election is firmly with Heather Humphreys. I believe that she's the right person, blah, blah, whatever. Signing a nomination paper is not a signal of electoral support. It's simply ensuring that the people of Ireland are given a fair and full choice when they go to the polls. I don't know if he's the 11th or could he be the 12th?
Because because the 11th hasn't been named. So it could be him and that he's now naming himself. Or that it could be the 12th.
Paul Brogarty was speculated as being the 11th.
Because he had said, again, I think Maria Steen could be a really interesting candidate. I just don't understand why Maria Steen didn't come out earlier. I think that a lot of, in the case of Gary Sheridan, I think that the councils and those, I think they respect the fact that he's been on the ground and doing the work.
That's the real contrast, the work that he's put in and the context he's made.
And I mean, it is a very, but also it's an interesting signal. Mm-hmm. Coming from Michael Healy-Rae,
that he's an interesting signal to everybody in Kerry that Michael Healy-Rae is endorsing a Fine Gael candidate. I mean, given the legacy of Fine Gael in government, so let people remember that of Michael Healy-Rae. I think it would be important as well.
Well, he's spreading the love there now, because you know.
Well, he's spreading the love, but that would be very typical of the Healy-Rae's and you know playing both sides. But I think it is important to say he's endorsing Heather Humphreys, which is Fine Gael, who've presided over the housing crisis.
Now, Jim Gavin has been asked about this because he's handing in his nomination papers this morning. And he said, my concern is on my campaign. He was asked about, you know, is he worried about who Sinn Féin might introduce into this? But let's say it is someone like Piers Doherty with vast political experience. That would bring it, wouldn't it, Shane, to the campaign for the likes of Jim Gavin?
The campaign is always going to be about the candidates who are in it, Clare. I think Jim Gavin has been telling his story for the last few weeks. And the purpose of a campaign is for people to get to know the candidates that they're being asked to make president. The presidential election is a very different election to any other election we have. It is ultimately about choosing someone who embodies our values as the head of state. It's not an executive presidency. And I think that's an important distinction that needs to be made in the campaign. Of course, there's a political aspect to it. Jim has already demonstrated he has knowledge of the Constitution in the interviews he's done.
But you know how the debates will run now. They will be tough political contests.
And I think if we can say one thing about Jim Gavin, from everything we've seen in his voluntary career, his sporting career, his community career, his professional career, he is tough as nails.
But he's never put his head above the parapet to take a position.
He was a serving soldier for 20 years and a public servant for a large amount of that time. It wasn't appropriate. And also, he's a Dublin GA manager, and it is highly unusual for GA.
It's highly unusual for sporting people to use their platform.
More the exception than the rule, I would say. It is highly unusual for sporting people to make that sort of engagement. But that is the purpose of the campaign. Nobody knew what I thought about before I started out in public life. That is the purpose of a campaign, for the public to get to know him. And the media have started doing that. And long may they continue doing that, because that's how a campaign should work.
O'Shane?
I mean, I didn't know much about Jim Gavin's CV other than Dublin GAA until he emerged as a candidate. And when you read it, it's really impressive. Mm. From an executive point of view, like, I put him in charge of building the Metrolink tomorrow or make him a minister or a TD possibly. But I think he has a lot of work to do to convince Irish people that he can embody their values in the way that we know Michael Dee has done.
I would say that I saw him up front in the Dublin Citizens Assembly. I've seen the work he's done in the North East Implementation Committee. They aren't just executive roles. They're also bringing people with them. The way he brought a group of 120 people who he had never laid eyes on before in that assembly together, embodying values, I think is testament to the fact that he has that ability.
Doors,
sure, but it's still a skill in and of itself, sure. Right? Just because people haven't seen it doesn't mean the skill doesn't exist.
No, but I'm just saying he has to show it.
He also motivated a county in many ways for five in a row. So I think he brought the spirit of the county behind him.
But was known for saying the bare minimum. And I'm a Dublin fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I have huge admiration for Jim Gavin as a manager. But he was known for saying very, very little, even in post-match interviews, about anything. You know, that was actually his trademark, was
again,
that there was very, very little that you would
know
about.
That's
Jim
the purpose
Gavin.
Of a campaign, Lynn. Nobody knew what I talked about before I started public life.
No, but what he has said on Gaza has been deeply problematic. The fact that he's in favour of dropping the triple lock is also deeply problematic. And I think this campaign will be about those key issues, about what embodies the values of this country. And President Michael D. Higgins has done a fantastic job in that, you know, defending Ireland neutrality, speaking up for the Palestinian people. Jim Gavin is going to have to, you know, we're going to have this debate about
With regard to Gaza, he's very clear that it is a genocide.
He also set out
exactly what he would do if legislation came to him and the role that he did. He clarified that it was a genocide. And ultimately, he made the point that it was a genocide and that it was unacceptable what was happening in Gaza, and also called for the continuation of aid to the people who needed it.
But he referred to it as a military objective, Alison, and everyone can see.
Well, we were chatting beforehand, and I established that this is Deputy Moynihan's first outing on The Gathering, but I think we can safely say he's thrown himself into it. He's entered the discussion with passion. He's arguing his side. There's back and forth between himself and Lynn. It's interesting. None of those really are words that I would currently attribute to Jim Gavin. And how his campaign has been going.
But there's a long way to go on this. I think that those debates are going to be key here.
They are, and it's early doors. And even from the point of view, the self-interested point of view of me wanting this to be an interesting race, I actually want him to grow into it so that we do kind of things even out. But I think they must be a bit worried in Fianna Fáil at this stage that it's kind of been, he's been very, I mean, as Oisin said, the man has a seriously impressive pedigree, seriously impressive CV, I think is genuinely dedicated to doing good and doing good for the country. But unless you can show that,
Is that side of him in there? What has he been doing that the others haven't been? Everyone's been at the ploughing, kissing babies and shaking hands, and so has Jim Gavin. That's what a presidential campaign is until you get to the raw end of it in a couple of weeks when you have the debates and you start to see the whites of people's eyes at that point.
I do think politicians have an advantage, though, just because people know that they're in that business. So I think even if you do, whether you like them or not, I think both Heather Humphreys and Catherine Connolly have a slight advantage with the public in terms of passing the thresholds people would expect of a president. And so therefore, I think any other candidate, whether it's Gareth Sheridan or Paul Gavin, have more to do to meet that threshold before people will give them a first or even a second preference. And those second preferences are going to be really important to the outcome.
And that's the purpose of a campaign, right? That's ultimately what the campaign is about, making that knowledge. And
everyone's watching the traitors now, not the presidential campaign. So like, there's plenty of time still. But the
other interesting thing, I was at Heather Humphrey's launch last Saturday in Monaghan, and the launch itself went really well. You know, it was slick, it was interesting, slightly long maybe, but overall it went very well. I'd say they were happy. But upstairs afterwards at the press conference, you saw that thing that people have said is her possible vulnerability, and that it was nervousness in her interaction with the media. And at taking questions. And that it'll be interesting to see how that translates in a debate atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the debates will be so interesting. Of course, you know, your game changer candidate, Lynn, was Mary Lou MacDonald. I mean, that was the person who so many people said would have completely altered this campaign. Are you disappointed that she decided she didn't want to run?
No, I'm not, because I'm a big supporter of Mary Lou MacDonald, and I want to see Mary Lou MacDonald as Taoiseach, because I think she's a formidable politician, and that she has a long future ahead of her in politics, and I'd like to see her in that role where she could really affect change.
But arguably,
for the country.
You've got other elected representatives in your party who could lead Sinn Féin in the Dáil, but have you got another candidate who could have won the presidency?
Well, we'll know tomorrow. But I have to say, I was relieved when Mary Lou MacDonald ruled herself out, because I am a big supporter of
Shane
Mary
was
MacDonald,
as well there beside
and she's
you.
A big she is a big supporter of getting more and more women
Lynn,
in politics.
Do you mind being kept in the dark for so long? You know, the way the Fianna Fáil backbenchers, we heard, and a lot of them were saying that they were really fed up that they were kept in the dark for so long and not told. Whereas you're going to hear the announcement when
no,
all the rest of us.
No, we had a process. I mean, understand completely. Why Fianna Fáil backbenchers would be annoyed, because there were people putting themselves forward and
no, but it's,
were,
I mean, look at the, I'm talking about look at the 19th
we had a process
September
where
part,
we had a process where our parliamentary party chose
but we always said that it was going to be the September, because you don't have a meeting in August, so we were always very open and upfront about the timeline.
That's what we
but also very open and upfront about people, you know, giving their view on whether it's their own candidate, whether it's a United Left candidate. Fianna Fáil, it was Micheál Martin went off and did a solo run and approached Jim Gavin. And then presented it as a fait accompli to the party.
Like what Lynn has
and Billy
there.
Billy Kelleher.
Micheál Martin said at the start of the summer that he would identify the process would be used by the end of the summer. We did that. We had a democratic election in Fianna Fáil to choose our candidate. That hasn't happened in Sinn Féin. Whatever you say about not knowing what a candidate knows, we don't even know who Sinn Féin's candidate is. So with the greatest respect, I won't take lectures on how we chose our candidate.
Well, I mean,
we chose
him fairly
in a fair competition. And the first person at the first person
Bertie Ahern to stop wasting his time.
At the first person,
Mary Hannafin was also chomping at the bit. Yes.
At the first,
and,
at first person
Billy
at the end
Kelleher,
of the meeting,
who's a sitting
the first person at the end of the meeting to say he was going to campaign for Jim Gavin was Billy Kelleher. That shows the loyalty that man has to the party,
but
and it shows the loyalty
shows
of the,
were,
and integrity
were,
of the process
there
that was
people there. Within the party who were putting their names forward, and Micheál Martin couldn't pick up the phone and say, listen, you're wasting
and
your
there
time.
Was a nomination
but
process
at least
identified.
They felt free enough to do that. We haven't
well,
heard
we've
anybody
had that process.
Who's
had the process in terms of every single
who's voting on the
every single person.
Is the Ord Cóirle going to have a vote?
The Ord Cóirle will have a vote. Yes.
So we won't actually know what the decision is.
Well, the Ord Cóirle has a vote.
So
you
we don't
have
know.
An executive
so
as well, Shane.
We have
so,
a parliamentary
I mean,
party that had an open election. We don't actually know. We don't actually know if there's two candidates going to the Ord Cóirle tomorrow.
Well,
so it is a closed door decision that nobody actually knows
will be a vote
who is going to be voting
Cóirle,
tomorrow.
But the difference is every single member of Sinn Féin was asked their view on this, and that was fed into it.
And we have a report on the overall result of that. Do we have a report on the overall result of that?
That's what the report is being presented.
So that's tomorrow as well.
That's the report.
Tomorrow's going to be a big day, yeah.
Of course,
well, that was
it is.
A rich
yeah.
Vein.
All right. Well, look, we'll find out more about that tomorrow, as Lynn says. Maybe enough, not enough for Shane, but we'll find out the result of the decision from Sinn Féin. But, you know, we're going to take a quick break. Back with more after this. Now we're back to the gathering with Shane Moynihan from Fianna Fáil, Lynn Boylan from Sinn Féin, Alison O'Connor and Oisín Coughlin are here too. And I just want to touch on the budget, because the total package for tax changes is about 1.5 billion, Shane. Are you happy that 870 million of that could be spent on hospitality VAT rate cuts?
Well, the budget hasn't been finalised yet, Claire. Those discussions are still ongoing. But as I think the Minister of Finance himself said yesterday, as a number of reports in the last few weeks have said, budgets are about priorities. Mm-hmm. And it's about making sure that this budget delivers impact for the people who need to feel that impact most. And that includes families that
so
we have been
what
well
about
documented. And also businesses
that,
as well.
Because we know that's on the table. It'll either be for hospitality, which would be 870 million, or just the food element of it, which would be 670 million. Are you okay with that?
So again, I would come back to the fact that I don't know the overall detail of the budget makeup, but I would say that my starting principle with regard to the budget has to be that the families and people who need to feel it, who need that help most, they need to feel the impact
they
of the they need to feel the impact of this budget. Mm-hmm. I'm also very sensitive to the needs of businesses, many of whom are hospitality businesses up and down the country. And I think what the Taoiseach and the Minister of Finance have been saying consistently from the get-go is that whatever solutions we put in place for these people, in the short term, yes, we may need targeted measures to assist the families who need that help, but also we need to make sure that we're putting permanent, sustainable solutions in place to bring down
you
the overall costs. You can't, exactly right. And that's why it's about priorities, right? Mm.
Alison.
Yeah, this one just fascinates me. I was writing about it recently and there was a piece in the Sunday Times a few weeks ago about top restaurants and how you could be waiting 4 months on a waiting list to get in.
To get
right?
in, to get a table. In.
Yeah, to get a table. Do they need that cut? Does McDonald's, who had pre-tax profits of over 42 million last year, need it? They would get it if it came in. Now, there is no doubt but that there are businesses, restaurant catering businesses, mm-hmm. hospitality that are in trouble. But there are a whole lot of those within that who are not. And this is very much being pushed by Fine Gael.
Well, that's why I wanted
this
to
was
know
part,
what
yeah,
Shane, you thought about
yeah,
it from Fianna Fáil.
Fianna Fáil are kind of accepting this was part of the agreement, but it's really, you know, when they were negotiating going back into government. But what I find extraordinary about it is that the government is not able to tell you how many businesses this will save, how effective this incredibly expensive measure is going to be. And it comes on the back of an extraordinarily successful lobbying campaign, mainly by the Restaurants Association of Ireland. Fair play to them. Adrian Cummins should be giving workshops. We should have sent him in to negotiate the EU tariffs with Trump, right? But that's not necessarily good for our budget. And I don't think people, and also the consumer isn't going to benefit. You're not going to see it knocked off the price of your coffee and that it is going
well,
to
I'm
make
sure
a difference.
I'm sure Adrian Cummins would say that you will.
Yeah, it is going to make it. Nobody in government thinks that. It is ultimately, I think it's going, sorry, not ultimately, but we know it also means a lot less wriggle room for tax costs for people.
It seems to be a very inefficient and very expensive way to give to support the people who I think Fine Gael are trying to support, which is small town, rural cafes and restaurants. But the only way they can think to do it is to give this huge subsidy to the entire industry, which is expensive and inefficient. And it's a bit like, you know, the government has said it's going to move away from the universal energy credits and the universal payments to more permanent targeted reforms, which is a good thing. And, you know, I work with the WHEEL, the National Association alternative charities. And people like the Vincent de Paul and the National Disability Federation say core social welfare rates have fallen behind the cost of living. They need to go up by at least €16 a week. There's a promise in the programme for government of a cost of disability allowance of €50 a week, which would be almost €600 million costing in the year. Those would make a real difference to people's lives on the ground and would be a much better use of our money than either the one-off payments cost us €2.5 billion, just the energy credits over the last 3 years. A lot of that went to people who didn't need it, and that's the cost of a children's hospital. So it is good that we're moving to permanent targeted measures, but they actually have to address the need. So on energy, for example, lastly, I'd say there's a promise in the programme for government to extend the fuel allowance to those on the working family payment. That gets them out of fuel poverty, or towards they're out of the risk of fuel poverty, and puts them on track for a totally free energy upgrade, which is the home retrofit, which is the actual long-term answer. Uh-huh.
So, Lynn, I know that you've a focus on energy and on energy costs and the driving force behind why we're paying so much here. Are you still saying that those energy credits should happen this year?
I think that you do need some energy credits because people are really struggling. But I mean, the problem is you have 176,000 people who are in arrears with their energy for 90 days or more. That's a real red flag when it comes to, you know, any sort of metric. So for years, we've been calling on the government to deal with the structural issues that are pushing up the price of electricity. They've ignored all of that. One of the things they could do, and one of the things that small businesses are really struggling with as well, is their energy costs. And yet we have a regulator that's going to push up the cost of electricity for households and for small and medium businesses through network charges, while data centres are going to see their network charges decrease. So there are political choices to be made. But also the key thing around
really
small businesses, though, is...
You would say universal energy credits are still the
way
to go.
Well, I mean, we argued very firmly that second houses and holiday homes needed to be excluded from that, and we brought forward amendments. And the first energy credits, they were rejected by the previous government, and they finally came round to that way of thinking. Ideally, you want to bring down the cost of electricity for everybody. It is welcome. And another ask from Sinn Féin for years has been about increasing the eligibility for people on the family working payment to get fuel allowance. So we've been calling for all of those measures that are more targeted. But we do have an issue with the cost of electricity. It's one of the highest in Europe. There are structural things the government could have been doing for years and haven't been doing, and are actually doing the opposite now. They're going to be pushing up those bills for people. And if people have no money in terms of paying their bills, in terms of the cost of food, they don't have money to go out and support those businesses either. So we need to give people, put money back into people's pockets so that they can go out and actually spend in the economy.
You must be concerned, Shane, about this decision now just to draw a line under these one-off payments, because we know that people who are working are having problems paying for their groceries. You know, very basic things. Going to the supermarket, €200 a week might get you out of the woods. It probably won't. And your government colleagues are saying, no, that's it. No more one-off payments, despite the fact that we decided over the last number of years to try and bridge the gap for people. Are you happy with that?
So I think the one-off payments were in response to a very urgent crisis where prices were rising at a very fast rate. Mm-hmm. What's happened now is that prices are still high, I grant that, but the rate of inflation has moderated out in around 2%.
Yeah, that argument, and I've heard
I'll just finish the point.
But also every single electricity company has announced that they're going to put up their price.
But also
Electric Ireland haven't announced an increase in the price, and they account for 1.2 million households across the country. More households than ever before are going to receive the fuel allowance in September. People can call for things. The government's actually do them, and we've done those things. With regard to food, with regard to the pressure on food prices, the Taoiseach has already signalled that he is going to ask for prioritisation on issues that will help alleviate the child poverty, such as the working family payment and so on, which will help bridge that gap for families. But the other side of this point as well, Claire, is that there needs to be a recognition that targeted measures are the most effective way to deal with bridging that gap for people. One-off universal measures, which actually, for the record, Sinn Féin were against 4 years ago, and now all of a sudden they're in favour just because it's politically palatable.
We were in favour of energy cap, like lots of other European countries brought in.
And you're also in favour. You're also in favour of blank checks for energy companies at the time as well, which was totally blown out by Liz Truss a few weeks later.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't explained that way. So those targeted measures which are being prioritised are about prioritising
prioritising those people who are on lower incomes, who are feeling that much better, but also the focus of government needs to be on putting these permanent sustainable reductions in place. So looking at things, for example, possibly maintaining the VAT cut on electricity for families, but in the medium term, looking at, as we have signalled, investment in the national grid over the coming years, continuing to increase the amount of renewable energy that's available to the grid, as it has been fivefold since 2005.
So you're happy enough that the energy credit is gone completely?
I don't have the final detail of the budget, but I think the signalling has been very clear.
But would you be happy with that?
I think in terms of the overall, we can't do everything in a budget. Mm-hmm. We have to prioritise. And if it comes down to a question of prioritisation, for me, it is about helping those families that need the help most.
But Claire, the grid, it does need upgrading. No one is arguing with that. But what this government are calling for is that households and small businesses are going to foot the bill for that. And the large energy users are going to see their network charges decrease by 14%. That's the political choices that this government...
Of course, Oisin, you're not in favour of these universal credits either. So people who are listening to this who are thinking, God, maybe I might get €80 to help with the electricity bill... You think that they shouldn't get that?
Well, all the messaging from the ERSI, the Central Bank and IFAC, the Fiscal Advisory Council, is that we have to be careful of our budget, of our budgetary spending. And budgets are about choices. And I think the priority should be those most in need. So if you increase the core social welfare payments much more than they have been in the last few years to keep pace with inflation, and you expand the fuel allowance, you will be... addressing the needs of those most at risk of poverty / energy poverty. They're one and the same, really. And that would mean that most people who are most in need get most of what they need of what's available in the budget.
Okay, just an update to what we were saying earlier on. Maria Steen has the backing of a 12th member of the Oireachtas, and that is Michael Healy-Rae. So he is number 12.
She needs four more to unlock the four of Independent Ireland.
That's right. So she needs to get to 16 and then Independent Ireland said they'd back her.
So we could have six candidates still. Mm.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Her campaign is also hopeful, they say, of securing the backing of a 13th member before the end of the day. So that is one to watch. Thank you all very much for coming in.